It's the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins. Hello. If you fancy a film this weekend, we have a massive Marvel sequel this week. And to talk us through it is the film critic and broadcaster Mark Searby. Hello.
Hello.
We need to add an extra word, actually.
Yes.
To the end of that, I think, because you have something to tell us this week, don't you?
Yes, I do. I'm very pleased and excited to announce my book, Al Pacino, The Movies Behind the Man, is now available to pre-order.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. The book is basically an in-depth look at every single film Al Pacino has made throughout his career. It takes you through the inception, the pre-production of the films, also locations used for filming, which feature some entertaining stories from the sets as well. It explores reviews and box office returns. And then there's also a critical analysis from myself on every single film. Basically, I'm calling it the ultimate insider's guide to Al Pacino.
And you would know, because you are like a mega fan, aren't you?
I'm an uber fan.
Okay. I know nothing about this guy. You've tried to educate me over the years, yeah, somewhat unsuccessfully. Yeah. So tell me a bit about who he is without, you know, spoiling the book. You know, how many films has he made?
He's made over 50 films. And his biggest, well, he's got so many big roles. You know, you've got The Godfather, you've got Scarface, Dog Day Afternoon, Heat, all of these big films. He's even done TV. So he did a biopic of Phil Spector. He did one of Jack Kevorkian. He's done Angels in America as well, which was a 6-hour TV extravaganza. He's done Scent of a Woman, which he won an Oscar for as well. His only Oscar, sadly. Devil's Advocate. Basically, the book goes through all of the big films, all of the small films, everything in between. He's done Shakespeare work as well. Merchant of Venice. Looking for Richard. I've even done the bad films as well, Joff.
I was going to ask. I know you're a fan, but you've got to go on the bad stuff as well, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I've done Jack and Jill. I've done Gile. And I've done Revolution, which, by the way, was filmed down the road in King's Lynn.
Not far away.
Yeah.
So how did you do this then? You spoke to lots of people, I guess, about this.
Yes. There is interviews in the book as well with people who have worked closely with Al Pacino as well through the years. So there's interviews with Stephen Bauer, who was his co-star in Scarface. Iconic photographer turned director Jerry Schatzberg, who directed him in two films. American playwright Israel Horovitz. Oscar-winning director Hugh Hudson. Comedian Jay Moore. Investigative journalist Laura Bergman, British actor Chris Marshall, who's possibly going to be the new Doctor Who as well. Also, some of Pacino's longtime friends and his biographer Lawrence Grobel. I spent hours on the phone, on Skype. Some were done early in the morning, some were done late at night. I interviewed comedian Jay Moore at 1 a.m. He spent 2 hours on the phone to me, and most of the interview he did as Al Pacino.
Oh, impersonating him.
Impersonating him. Yeah, if you go to YouTube, you'll see his impersonation. So imagine interviewing Jay Moore about an Al Pacino film while he's doing his Al Pacino impression. It was so bonkers and yet brilliant. You know, all of them have got fascinating stories to tell about working with Pacino, and they're all in the book.
Okay, so if you're interested, you can pre-order it now, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's available to pre-order now. It's on all ebook retailers, and there will be a physical copy later on in the year as well.
And you have a website, don't you?
I do have a website, marksearby.com, which has got more information about the book there as well.
So, on to our first, the big film release this week.
Yes.
It's a sequel. I still haven't gotten around to watching the first one. This is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And you tell me there is actually some sort of very tenuous Al Pacino link with this.
There is, yeah. Al Pacino took his kids to see Guardians of the Galaxy, the first film. And something had got out in an interview where he'd said he'd taken his kids to see it, he'd really enjoyed it, and then Marvel called him up and said, listen, we'd really like you to possibly play something in the Marvel Universe, maybe in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, possibly the villain. So he went to have meetings, but because he's such a method actor, method acting doesn't necessarily fit with comic books, so he did turn them down, but he's a big fan of the original film.
To turn down Marvel, eh?
To turn down Marvel, yeah.
That's the kind of guy he is. Okay, so I haven't seen the first one. Do I need to see the first one to enjoy
it? Yes, you do.
I do?
Yes.
Okay, why? Explain why, and explain why you should go and watch this if we have seen the first one.
This is how I'll pitch it to you, Joe.
Break it down. Come on, you need to break it really simple for me.
This is Indiana Jones in space. So, you know, it's got that classic 80s feel to it. There's lots of adventure in there, plenty of humour as well. And the sequel doesn't stray from the formula of the first film either. But why would you when the first film made $800 million worldwide?
Okay.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So this one expands the universe that the Guardians operate in. So we get more information on Peter Quill's real family. And I think the family angle is done nicely, but I just don't think it has that proper emotional connection. But let's face it. Everybody's going to see this for the epic battles in space. And it doesn't disappoint on that at all. They're bright, vivid. They've got these neon colours flying off here, there and everywhere. The screens, even during its darkest moments, it's still very bright. The rest of the battles are really cool, as expected. Big, bold and sort of jaw-dropping as well. There's some cool one-on-one fights. And possibly the best parts of the film are the interactions between the individual Guardians, because we've already been introduced to them in the first film, so we know who they are. So now they're just going at each other, and some of them have got some great dialogue. There's a great performance by Kurt Russell in there as well.
Is he the Australian one?
No, that's Russell Crowe.
Oh yeah, okay.
But then, as to be expected, Baby Groot steals every scene he's in.
Is this the little funny monster thing?
The Little Tree.
Yes, that
yes,
thing.
Yes. Overall, I like the film. I didn't love it. All of these different elements that are happening in this film don't quite gel together as much as they should do. And I can't quite put my finger on what isn't taking it from that's a good film to being a great Marvel film.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, new at cinemas this weekend. DVD picks for the next few days. Cat Fight. I've written down action film. I've no idea what this is. You had to enlighten me. Why should we buy this?
If you remember, Liam Neeson has done a really good job of making action films starring men over 50, doing all this running and gunning and jumping. Well, women are now in on the action, because Cat Fight is basically that. We've got Sandra Oh and Anne Hesh get to punch and kick the hell out of each other the same way Liam Neeson, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger have been doing for years. So initially we see Sandra Oh's character, Veronica, is kind of like this stuck-up, alcoholic, socialite, sort of darling type thing. And I mean, you hate her from minute one. There's no getting away from it. But then she fights Anne Hesh's Ashley in a stairwell, and she's knocked unconscious, and she wakes up 2 years later to find she's lost everything. Family, friends, money. Everything you once hated about her is flipped, and you kind of become compassionate with her. And then in turn, we see Veronica rise up this social ladder by being an award-winning artist that climbs out of the gutter and slowly becomes somebody. And I think it cleverly weaves those two class divides together. The fighting is pretty heavy going. You know, it's not just a slap and a tickle, it's got to be said. I mean, the fight in the stairwell is bruising and absolutely bloodthirsty, but it's the second fight in the tire yard that had me taking sharp intakes of breath. Stilettos flying everywhere, there's hair being ripped out. And also, don't be fooled into thinking this is a film where nothing else happens, because there is a deeper meaning between these two characters. I think it's a brutal piece of work with an underlying message about true happiness, though.
Cat Fights, it is new on DVD this week. And we'll finish this week with a horror film, The Void. Tell me about this.
It's a story about a police officer who, shortly after delivering a patient to an understaffed hospital, experiences strange and violent occurrences seemingly linked to a group of mysterious hooded figures. The main group of people in this film are pretty poor, it's got to be said. There's no investment in character arcs or what any of them offer to the proceedings, except to be killed off along the way. But that's fine. That's what a horror film's all about. Thankfully, the rubber monsters are really entertaining in this. They save this film from eternal damnation. And it's pleasing to see filmmakers use actual rubber masks and rubber prosthetics in a film rather than CGI. Sadly, the same can't be said for the iconic hooded figures. Initially, when we see them, there's this big chill and you think, oh, they're going to do something. And then they don't do anything. It just feels like they've been undercooked and completely wasted. Overall, it's a film that will appeal to those of us who watch these classic 80s films. But anybody else who didn't see those, I think they're going to be severely disappointed. It does feel like a low-par H.P. Lovecraft-style film.
What?
H.P. Lovecraft.
No.
No? Okay, well, he was a very iconic writer who made all of these monster books, and people have been ripping him off for decades, basically.
And you like rubber masks and things like that?
Well, hang on, this is going somewhere else now.
In the films, I should add.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I do. I like it when they use actual prosthetics and you see them pop open and blood spurts everywhere.
The Void, it is new on DVD this week. Mark, thank you as always. Have a lovely weekend. And we'll do more next week at the same time.